Ladies and gentlemen, Garfield and friends.
This show is the most fun you can have without marinara sauce.
Let's find a place to eat, guys.
Music to my ears, Arbuckle. I have a date with Gwendolyn tonight, so I should eat light. Let's only go to two all-you-can-eat places.
Gentlemen.
Where?
Welcome to Madame Lafong's Mystic Museum. For about five measly dollars, you can view great mysteries of the ages.
Okay, here's your money. Show us the mysteries of the ages.
Behave yourself. Try not to drool on anything expensive.
This is the cursed Wanamaji orb. If you touch it, all your children will grow up to be encyclopedia salesmen.
Now that's what I call a curse.
Oh, I know what this is. It's a 19th century Mayan temple bell, right?
No, that's a fire extinguisher.
That was my next guess.
Don't touch anything, Odie. I said don't touch.
Over here, we have the Idol of Id. Legend has it that if two people touch the idol, their minds exchange.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's your tour.
That's it? Two statues and a fire extinguisher? You promised me great mysteries. What did I get for my money?
That's one of the mysteries.
What a ripoff! Come on, Garfield. Come on, Odie. I'll go get dinner ready, guys. Garfield, dinner!
Dinner! More! And hurry it up. I have to go meet Gwendolyn for our date.
You just ate Garfield's food.
I always eat my food. And everyone else's. Gotta go find a gift for Gwendolyn. See you later. John's looking a little strange tonight. But then John always looks a little strange.
That's not like Odie, eating Garfield's supper like that. I guess he got sick of his doggy dinner. Garfield? I mean, Odie. Garfield's acting like Odie, and Odie's acting like Garfield. But why would...
Legend has it that if two people touch the idol, their minds exchange.
No. It's not possible. Is it? Garfield? Garfield? Odie? Oh, no. Garfield is Odie, and Odie is Garfield, and I gotta straighten this out. Garfield, Odie, whoever you are, we have to find Odie, or Garfield, or whoever you aren't. Come on, Garfield. Come on, Odie.
Hey, Gwendolyn, honey.
Don't Gwendolyn honey me, Brick. I told you, it's all over between us. I'm dating Garfield tonight.
Garfield? That fat, lazy wimp? He's weird.
He is a gentle cat, unlike some felines I could name.
Hi, Gwendolyn.
So, like, what do you want, dog?
Who are you calling a dog?
I am calling you a dog, dog. And I hate dogs.
Excuse me, I think I have to be any place else. Hey, why are you chasing me? I'm a fellow cat.
Don't try to con me, dog.
We've got to find him. Garfield, go look for Odie. Odie, go look for... Oh, go look for someone.
Where's Garfield? It's not like him to be late. Unless someone has been passing out lasagna. Oh, here he comes. Well, it's about time. What do you have to say for yourself? Hey, what's wrong with you? I thought you said you were going to bring me a gift.
No.
No, thanks. I meet all the classy guys.
They'll get you, dog.
Why does he keep calling me a dog? That guy's been hitting the catnip too hard. He's... Oh, hi, Odie. Bananas if he thinks I'm... I've had nightmares about this. Listen, I may look like a dog, but I'm a cat, and somehow I wound up in a dog's body, and I wouldn't believe it either, so I'll just run. Hey, why am I running? I'm a dog.
Hey, don't do that. Get back.
No wonder dogs chase cats. This is fun.
Garfield, you're acting like an airhead dog. I never want to see you again.
There I am. I mean, there's me, but it's not me. I mean, even I can't figure this one out.
Garfield, Odie, whichever of you is which, come with me. We have to get back to that museum and straighten you two out.
That piece of junk actually has the power to swap minds. I paid $11 for that.
Well, it worked. Guys, quick, touch the idol.
The idol of it!
I just hope it worked first. Garfield, Odie, come out, come out, whichever you are.
Hey, I'm me again.
Help me pick up the pieces of my priceless idol of it.
It may be for the best. This thing could be too dangerous for the world.
If I ever need another brain, Odie, I'm gonna ask for yours. Yeah, I'd want one that's never been used.
Come on, guys, let's go home. I'm just glad this is over.
Silly people. I hope this is the last I ever see of them.
Enjoy yourself outside, Garfield.
I thought I'd die laughing.
Booker. Good night, Sheldon.
Oh, we're not sleepy yet. Yeah, read us a story.
A story? But guys, it's late and...
I can't sleep without a story. Yeah, Orson, you always read us a story.
All right, how about The Three Musketeers?
You already read us that one.
Okay, how about Robin Hood?
Read it.
How about Black Beauty?
Read it twice.
91 books later.
Huckleberry Finn.
We read it to you.
Well, the only one left is this copy of Cinderella.
Cinderella? That's a girl's story full of fairy godmothers and junk like that.
It's this or nothing.
Maybe we can fix it up. Make it more interesting.
Whatever you say. Once upon a time...
Boring!
I'll ignore that. Once upon a time, there was a beautiful girl, and her name was Cinderella.
We know that.
Cinderella lived in a poor but quaint cottage.
Wait a minute. Why does Cinderella always have to be a girl?
Yeah, I get it. Why can't Cinderella be a guy instead?
All right, anything to get you two to sleep. We'll make Cinderella a guy named,
Orson.
Okay, fine, Orson. And Orson lived and worked in a quaint little cottage.
Let's make it a pet shop.
Why a pet shop?
Why not a pet shop?
Okay, fine. So, Orson worked in a pet shop. Orson had three ugly step-sisters?
Let's make them brothers.
Three ugly step-brothers.
I've got a neat idea. Let's make them ninjas.
Ninjas in a pet shop? Why would there be... Oh, never mind. All right, they're ninjas. And these ninjas treated poor Orson like dirt. One day, the king's messenger came by the pet store to announce a royal proclamation.
Hear ye, hear ye. His Majesty, the Royal King, announces...
I think he should be a rap master, like in the music videos.
Whatever you say. One day, the king's royal, rap master boogied in to lay out the latest...
Now listen hard and listen tight. It's happening this very night. The king is gonna throw a ball with lots of food. And that ain't all. His daughter, Dear, could use a mate. So don't forget this mellow date. You're all invited to be there. So be a round, don't be a square.
The ugliest step ninja told Orson he was forbidden to go to the ball. The ninjas were all excited. They were hoping that one of them would meet the princess at the party and marry her. How am I doing?
Fine.
Thank you. That night, the ninjas headed for the party, leaving Cinder Orson at the shop where he was trying to knit a body stocking for the boa constrictor. When suddenly, who should appear but his fairy godmother?
Boring! Fairy godmothers are boring. Every story has a fairy godmother or two in it. Let's make him the richest guy in the world.
Okay, fine. Who should appear but the richest guy in the world?
Yes, my boy. I am very rich, and I will grant you any wish you would wish. So what would be? Millions of dollars? Tons of gold? 5 gallons of gasoline?
Orson wasn't very bright. He said, more than anything, I'd like to go to the ball. And so the richest guy in the world pulled out his magic wand.
Credit card!
Like I said, he pulled out his credit card.
Let me do this part. He ordered him a snazzy sports car and got him a whole new wardrobe at the mall. And then Orson was ready to go to the party.
I'm telling this if you don't mind. His rich godfather gave him a warning.
So when next year's model comes out tomorrow, so you simply have to be back by midnight.
So Orson headed for the party, which was held at the king's castle.
No, let's have it at a fancy nightclub.
Like I said, a fancy nightclub. And no sooner did he see her than it was love at first sight.
Here comes the mushy part.
The princess was beautiful, and when she...
Let's make her a cowgirl.
No, a spacesuit. She's an astronaut.
No, even better, she's a race car driver, and she's got an evil twin.
No, she's a princess, and there's only one of her. And she and Orson fall madly in love, and they dance and dance and dance a whole lot, and they lose track of time. Orson forgot about being home by 12, and suddenly the clock began to toll 12. Orson had to get out of there before he turned back to his old self. He was fleeing when he lost one of his shoes.
And when does the wolf come in?
Wolf? There's no wolf in Cinderella.
It's a fairy tale, isn't it?
Yeah, every fairy tale has a wolf in it.
Sometimes two. We want a wolf! We want a wolf!
Guys, there's no place for a wolf in this story.
You can fit it in.
Sure. What if when Orson is running out of the nightclub, this mean, nasty wolf leaps out at him?
Guys!
And then the wolf is about to eat our hero, but just then there's a big earthquake.
And the earthquake opens a big crack in the door and dinosaurs come out.
Dinosaurs? Where did dinosaurs come from in Cinderella?
And the dinosaurs broke out and run around the city, and then they ate a lot of cars and things and people
no,
got
really
up
there are no dinosaurs in Cinderella. Okay, that's it. Enough.
What about the end of our story?
The again. The planet Jupiter collides with the spaceship.
No, this is not the story of Cinderella. The story of Cinderella is this. Cinderella was a poor girl who lived with her ugly stepsisters. One day they announced that the king was throwing a ball so the prince could choose a bride. The stepsisters wouldn't let Cinderella go to the ball, so she stayed home, and the fairy godmother appeared and changed a pumpkin into a coach and some mice into horses, and she told Cinderella to be home by 12 or else. And Cinderella went to the ball, and she looked beautiful, and the prince fell in love with her, but then it was 12, and she had to leave, so she ran off. But she left one glass slipper behind, and the prince said, I must find the woman whose foot fits this shoe, and I will marry her. And he went to the house until he found Cinderella, married her, and they lived happily ever after, and that's the end, so now go to bed. Good night, sweet dreams. See you in the morning.
Sheldon?
Yeah, Booker?
What do you think of the story?
It's kind of fast and it needs more ninjas.
Yeah, it did. Oh, good night.
Good night.
It all began a year or three ago. John was taking us on a vacation. Let's get pizza.
You probably want to get pizza, Garfield.
Easy guess.
We'll stop here. Papa Plastique's Pizza Parlor. Sounds yummy.
Not really, but hey, pizza's pizza. Well, actually, sometimes pizza is rubber. Papa Plastique's pizza was one part mozzarella, two parts rubber. People often ask, how bad does food have to be so that you won't eat it? About this bad. So we went looking for another Italian restaurant. And that's when I smelled it.
What is it, Garfield? Sandbox break? Garfield? Garfield?
What it was the most delicious smelling Italian food ever. Manicotti. Veal parmesan. Sausage and peppers. Cheese ravioli. No, meat ravioli.
Garfield, do you want to eat here? Garfield! Garfield!
Did they really think I'd stand around outside when the pasta was on the inside? Or about to be on the inside? Now, I've eaten Italian food. I've had the great and the near great. But this was the greatest. The cook was named Mama Manicotti. She was also the waitress, cashier, and owner of the place.
You liked it?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Say, do you know a motel around here? We're vacationing.
Oh, you could rent my spare room for the night. Oh, it's very comfortable, and I could use the money.
Guys, want to stay here?
I never want to stay anywhere else.
Oh, my goodness, another customer.
She seemed surprised at that. It was obvious this place didn't get a lot of business. In fact, that wasn't a customer that had just come in.
For the last time, Mr. Plastique, my recipes are not for sale.
Plastique? The guy with the cardboard pizzas?
You wouldn't be able to use my recipes.
A recipe is a recipe. No one comes to this dump. You'll be out of business soon, and you'll beg to sell me those recipes.
Oh, I wonder if I did the right thing.
When a cat tells you you did all right, listen, they know. But what I didn't know was how badly Papa Plastique wanted her recipes. He wasn't dumb. He knew how lousy the food at his places was.
That woman's recipes are the key to millions. Do whatever you have to get them.
Leave it to me, Papa. Mr. Plastique.
He was a private investigator, and he had a different approach to getting her recipes. He decided to steal them. But of course, we didn't know anything about that as we settled down for the night.
This was the den of my late husband. He used to run the cash register, and I would cook for him. Oh, I still cook for him, in a way. Every time I make something, I taste it and say, Arnold would have loved this.
He would have loved tonight's dinner, that's for sure. Oh, my cat and dog wanted to sleep downstairs. Is that okay, Mrs. Manicotti? They like the smells.
Oh, that's fine. Sleep well, Mr. Arbuckle, and call me Mama.
Okay. Well, good night, Mama.
Downstairs, the pooch and I were having trouble sleeping. We kept smelling cheese and garlic. And then there was that sound. Someone had decided to turn this place into a takeout service. Our unwelcome visitor went right to the kitchen, where he started searching through Mama's recipe drawer.
Hey, Cat, what are you doing here? Get away from me, dog!
Then I found Mama's supply of meatballs.
I have a burglar!
No, you had a burglar. Call the police.
I think this merits at least a midnight cannelloni snack. The next day, Papa Plastique apologized for what his man had tried, and he made another attempt.
I am sorry, Mr. Plastique, but your chefs couldn't cook from my recipes.
I'll make you a deal. You give them your recipes, and if they can't duplicate your cooking, I'll give you $10,000.
You have a deal, sir.
Plastique chefs worked for days learning her recipes.
We made a few changes. Processed cheese instead of real, dehydrated tomatoes instead of fresh, frozen sausage. But I believe we have now replicated her spaghetti sauce.
The cat will be our taste tester.
You'd think taste testing sauce would be a great job, but not this sauce. Yuck and double yuck.
You cannot use the cheap ingredients. Only the best. Only the freshest.
Cosgrove, whip up another sample with real food in it.
So we made another batch, this time following her recipe exactly. And it wasn't bad, but it wasn't really good either.
Try again.
Well, they did try again, and again, and again, and every batch was just, eh. Finally, they gave up, and Mr. Plastique gave her the money.
You couldn't duplicate her cooking, even with the same recipe.
She must have some ingredient she didn't tell us about.
As a matter of fact, she did. Well, there isn't much more to the story of Mama Manicotti. The money helped her fix up the place, do some advertising. By the time we went back next year, things had changed a lot. She still cooks the food, and it's still the best I've ever tasted. Oh, wait. You're probably wondering, what was that missing ingredient? I'll show you. You see, Mama tastes her cooking constantly and keeps adding the right spices, so it's just perfect. Good cooking doesn't come from the kitchen. It comes from the heart.